بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored this ummah through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then through the Qur'an. And in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors us even more with all the ayat and all the surahs and all the hidayah and guidance that we find in the Qur'an, amongst which is the whole Qur'an itself, that the Qur'an is revealed to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the Qur'an through Jibreel onto the qalb of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nazala bihi ar-ruh al-amin ala qalbik, that the ruh al-amin comes down onto your heart. So this is the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the physical heart. Is not referred to here. This is a different heart that is in the language of the Qur'an. So it is not anatomical, biological. So don't get your hopes too high that you've understood what the word qalb means. It doesn't mean anything you understand. What it does mean is the Prophet ﷺ's spiritual ability to receive and then to codify, and then to translate, and then to transmit wahi, sometimes verbatim, word for word, other times in meaning, which is the hadith. So what is delivered and transmitted word for word is known as the Qur'an, and what is transmitted in meaning is known as the hadith and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But both is wahi, and both is what we call wahi, in the sense that one is recited and the other is not recited. One is matlu and the other is not matlu. So for the Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ's words were all one. It was all wahi. They did not have the need to decipher and to dissect. This is the Quran and this is the hadith. This is the Qur'an and this is Sunnah. If it is wahi, then they followed. If it was not wahi, then they may speculate, that they may say that this is not the way we believe things should be in the world on occasions. Those examples are few and far between. Maybe you'll find fine occasions where the Sahaba asked, is this wahi? Or is it your understanding? So on very few occasions in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, over 23 years, you'll find 5, maybe 10, if you stretch it, instances. So you can't make those instances a rule and say, we can question the Prophet ﷺ also. They never did that. Okay? So you have to be careful. That sample that you're studying and you're taking as your data, okay, is 99.9% accurate that the Sahaba followed the words of the Prophet ﷺ, period. Okay. There was no distinction in their minds as to whether this is the Qur'an or this is the Sunnah, this is wahi matlu or this is wahi ghair matlu, except when in Salat, except when they recited the Qur'an for Ibadah. When they recited the Qur'an for Ibadah, in Salat or outside of Salat, then they knew that they will be rewarded for each letter of the Qur'an, as is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and we all know that hadith. So, this enormous bulk, mass of knowledge, and nur and spirituality, comes down all at once in Laylatul Qadr. All at once. Now you can imagine how much you would need to know and understand and perceive and to grasp in order to say that I can see the Qur'an or I can perceive the Qur'an being revealed in one night in Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we reveal it, we send it down. It, the who, refers to the Qur'an. The Qur'an we reveal and send down in the night of Qadr. So, the night of Qadr has to be huge enough to receive that gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're going to receive a small gift, then a small envelope will suffice. If you're going to receive a large gift, then you need a box. A fancy envelope won't do it. No, but I have this fancy envelope. It cost me $15. But Baba, the thing is not going to fit in there. Don't you see? And if you need something more than a box, then you have to find that something that carries something that big and huge and enormous. So, Laylatul Qadr is so huge and enormous. How huge and enormous? That it is better than how many months? 1,000 months. So, in one night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this one night is more than 1,000 months in goodness and khair. And that is why it is capable of receiving the Qur'an in one night. It's capable of doing what? Receiving the Qur'an in one night. Now, the fiqh of the issue is, we must get used to the fiqh. Why? Because the ulama and the fuqaha who understood Islam understood the underpinnings of the whole philosophy of Islamic law and the Islamic civilizational value, which is called the Qanun, Al-Qanun al-Islami. So they say it is makruh for somebody to recite the whole Qur'an in one night. What is it? Well, it doesn't apply to us. We don't read it once in a year, so never mind one night. Right? 3 nights. So if you want to finish the Qur'an, then finish reciting the Qur'an in 3 nights. It is khilaf al-adab. It is against the adab of receiving the Qur'an that you finish in one night. That you finish when? In one night. It is makruh. I say, what is makruh? What is makruh? Makruh means that it is not in line with the understanding of the Qur'an Sunnah from the Sahaba that you finish this way. Now you will say, well, Uthman radiallahu finished in one night so many nights. Say, well, that's Uthman business. Then when you become Uthman, yeah, fine. We'll lead behind you. We'll read behind you. We'll follow you. When you become Uthman, Abu Hanifa will read in one night. When you become Abu Hanifa, fine. No problem. We'll follow you. You will become the Imam. Right. Until then, Imam Ghazali says, 3 nights. How many? 3 nights. Why? Because the human psyche and the human qalb, the human heart, which heart? The other one. That one we don't have either. No, we don't have that heart, neither. We're kind of deprived. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ Bereft of both, the dunya and the akhirah. But the other heart is not capable of receiving that amount of substantial concentrated nur in one night. Therefore, the fuqaha say, read it if you want to read it over 3 nights. Those that have cited miracles of reciting the Qur'an, they are miracles of the awliya. But they are karamat. If you're wali, like Uthman, if you're wali, like Abu Hanifa, if you're wali, like Shah Ismail Shaheed, rahimullah, then fine, you can read from Asr to Maghrib, as Shah Ismail Shaheed, the grandson of Shah Waliullah, rahimullah, was challenged by a non-Muslim there in Delhi. And what was the contention or the challenge? He said, no Muslim can recite the Qur'an for me without looking at the Qur'an in a few hours. Shah Ismail Shaheed, rahimullah, said, okay, we'll take on that challenge, no problem. So he went to Jama Masjid in Delhi. You know that Jama is the big masjid there. And he said, meet me after Asr. So he went after us and a huge crowd gathered, mashallah. We were kind of like the herd mentality, so thousands of Muslims gathered in the masjid, listened to the Quran recitation. So Shah Ismail Shaheen, rahimullah, what did he do? He started Surah Fatiha after Asr, and he finished An-Nas before the Adhan of Maghrib. You can't do that. So don't try it. It's a karama. And awliya of Allah do this. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Dawood ﷺ was given the Zabur, and he would recite the Zabur from the time he would mount one foot into the stirrup of his horse and then put the other foot into the other stirrup on the other side. How many seconds is that? Five at the most? Three? So he would recite the whole Zabur. Now you're sitting there calculating with your gigantic computers. Right? It doesn't compute, brother. It's not meant to compute. That's the mu'jiza which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about Dawood alayhi salam, that he would recite the whole of Zabur. I don't know how long the Zabur is, but I dare say it's more than 25 pages. And you're not going to read 25 pages in 3 seconds or 5 seconds. So, what is this? This is the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts into the recitation of the Qur'an. This is the point. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Laylatul Qadr with so much barakah and khair that nowadays is even easier, subhanAllah. Nowadays what? After Isha too? Suhoor. How many hours do you have? In those few hours, okay, you will receive Laylatul Qadr. In winter it's long. If you go a bit north from here, even shorter. If you go elsewhere, even shorter. In those few hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you the ajr of Laylatul Qadr if you receive it, if you find it. And this is the ideal season for us to try and look for Laylatul Qadr, because we barely have, how many hours? 4 hours? 3 hours? From now until suhoor, 3 hours. In those 3 hours, whatever little we can do in recitation or dua or dhikr or istighfar or anything else, we should do. Right? And the Prophet also made it easier. If you don't have the energy to go all 10 days, and at least the odd nights, which leaves you 5 nights. 5 nights. In these 5 nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah, definitely give you Laylatul Qadr. And in this night of Qadr, the recitation of the Qur'an you do in Laylatul Qadr will be equal to more than 1,000 months of recitation. Now you're wali of Allah also. Why? Because in these few hours, you are going to receive the reward of 84 years, subhanAllah. There's Allah's fadl on you, through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every believer is a wali. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the wali of those who believe. Allah is a friend of those who believe. For whom? For those who seek to find Laylatul Qadr, as is the purpose of Ramadan, as I have been stressing time and time again. If you are tired and you want to lie down a few minutes, that's fine too. You don't have to sleep, just lie down. But at least make the effort and say, I don't care. If I'm tired, I'll lie down, then I'll get back up, I'll recite the Qur'an, and if I get tired reciting the Qur'an, I'll make some dua and dhikr and istighfar so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rules in my favor. Are you guys tired? Do I have your permission to go on a bit further? Another 15 minutes? Is that okay? I'll stop before suhoor, inshallah. Right. This is important. Why? Because in these few hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send down all the decisions for the coming year. All the decisions. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. Every command comes down in Laylatul Qadr. As the Qur'an is coming down, the Amr of Allah comes down. The decisions that Allah has for the year comes down. It is as if the Qur'an is escorting these decisions. The Qur'an is escorting these decisions for the year, that look, you're going to plan for this year, and this decision is going to be made. The Prophet ﷺ said that people will be making plans for something, and the decision is made that they will die. There's your planning. But at least when that decision is made, you are with Allah. When that decision is made, you are there with the Qur'an. When the decision is made, you are making tawbah, istighfar. You're making durood salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this night of Laylatul Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting the mandate to the angels who are now privy to all the decisions of the year, all the commands, min kulli amr, all the commands come down on this night. And in what state do you want to be when Allah decides for you? Do you want to be in a good state? Or do you want to be in a bad state? Well, this is a no-brainer, hopefully, inshallah. Allah keep us all in a good state all the time. So when you're in this state of ibadah and recite the Qur'an in tawbah istighfar, then you have to make sure that you are capable of receiving that decision. Just as Laylatul Qadr, Allah has made as being able to and capable of receiving the Qur'an in one night, likewise every believer must prepare himself and herself to be able to receive every decision that Allah makes for that year. And how is that? That is through tawbah. That is through what? Tawbah. Repentance. An acknowledgement of guilt in front of Allah. It's not tawbah, God, I'm sorry, Allah, I'm sorry, forgive me. No. It's much deeper than that. From the depth of your heart, again the word heart, the qalb. Go dig deep into the heart, into the qalb, and say, Allah, forgive me. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, through her very ingenious being, asked the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, what dua should I recite on Laylatul Qadr? Is he the genius of the Sahaba? The depth perception. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, recite this dua. Allahumma innaka afuun. Allahumma innaka afuun. Oh Allah, you are the one that pardons. I'm in Laylatul Qadr. I'm in bliss. I'm with the heavens. I'm in sync. The Quran is coming. Why am I saying Allahumma innaka afuun? Why am I asking for this? Because Allah knows all your mistakes, your sins. Allah knows you better than you. Allah created you. And Allah is the one who gave you time and life in this world so that you can do what you want to do. Now he's saying this to whom? None other than Aisha. He wasn't some person on the street. So even the ordinary Sahabi would be a genius. He's saying this to his own wife. Say this dua. Allahumma innaka afun. Oh Allah, you are very, very pardoning. There's a difference between pardoning and forgiveness. You understand? No. Yeah. Pardoning means you are guilty. Pardoning is when? Al-afu ba'da iqrar al-jurm. Pardon is what the president does when somebody's in jail. Right? The judge pardons you. Why? Because you're guilty. He doesn't have to, he can punish you. So now, this means that in Laylatul Qadr, the way the Prophet ﷺ wanted the Ummah to prepare itself to receive the decision for the year is to ask Allah to pardon them. Which is higher than forgiveness. That means the Ummah must acknowledge its guilt and say, Allah, we have failed. Allah, we are not worthy of being forgiven, so pardon us. That's the adab of trying to find In Laylatul Khizr, in the dua. The Prophet's mind, the prophetic mind, is always in dua, state of dua. 24/7, always in the state of dua. Always. As Anwar Shah Kashmir, rahimahullah, has said, and I've told some of you before, that is, if you want to understand the mind of the Prophet, understand his duas. If you want to understand how the Prophet thought, understand his duas. This is how he thought. This is how we think now. How do we think that, Ya Allah, this is the way you ask Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who asked the Prophet to make dua on Laylatul Qadr, so Allah, we're making the same dua, except with further acceptance and further guilt. Afuun, Kareemun. Then on top of that, the Prophet said, after you have acknowledged that you are guilty and you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive, to pardon you, then ask for His generosity. Innaka afuun kareemun. Kareem, you are noble in nobility, not in the sense of genealogy, but you are generous because you give because you want to give. Sometimes people give because there's something in it for them. There's a vested interest. Sometimes people give because they want reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives with no strings attached. He is kareem. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun. And then, tuhibbul afwa. You love pardoning. Human beings will never pardon. It's not in their DNA to pardon. Why? Because the shaitan is always there underneath. The shaitan is always there. The nafs is always there. Then your fellow shayateen who counsel you and advise you in life. They're there to make sure you never forgive. There are all these shayateen around us. Which ones? Not the jinn. I'm talking about the ins. I'm talking about the human shayateen, those you take counsel from. Those that are your buddies. Those whom you, in whom you confide. And say that I have this problem. Say, well, go and slap him in the face, slap her in the face, kick him out, kick her out. Forgive, forget, hardening. Punish the person. So, the Prophet ﷺ said to Aisha, saying these words, tuhibbul afwa. You love pardoning. This is who you are and this is what you do. Tuhibbul afwa. So when you know this, then fa'afu anni. Then pardon me. Pardon me. Overlook all my mistakes, all my sins. When you're in this state and you make the dua in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will listen. And Allah will respond. And Allah will accept. And then you go on with your recitation of the Quran. Then you go on with your istighfar and your tawbah and your salat, salawat ala nabi and everything else that comes with it. This is the way you prepare yourself to meet Laylatul Qadr. So Aisha radiallahu anha, in the most unique way, served the ummah by asking the Prophet ﷺ, what should I read, which dua should I make when I find Laylatul Qadr? Read this dua. Once you understand these are the words of the Prophet ﷺ and you want to follow him and you want to mimic him and you want to make sure that you emulate him in your humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the decision that will be made for you will be nothing except salam. Min kulli amrin, and then salam. What is salam? Be at peace. You will be at peace with every decision that comes for you. Salam. You won't be at odds. You won't be fighting God. Why? Because you've already acknowledged that you really don't deserve anything. Period. And whatever Allah does, He does with salam. One of the names of Allah is what? As-salam. The one who is peace. All peace. And then the Prophet ﷺ instructed the ummah to include his name in our greeting. Assalamu alaikum. The Allah who is assalam, may he be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. Those of you who know a little bit about it, he said, Alam, Or is it the ma'rifa with alif lam of salam? Which one is it? Is it the proper noun of Allah? Or is it the word which is in the ma'rifa form of salam, the nakira? Is it the peace? Or is it Allah Himself? As-salamu alaykum. May Allah be with you. Peace, not peace. Allah Himself is upon you. How do you receive this salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Laylatul Qadr? That you prepare yourself to receive every amr, every decision that comes for you in this night by reciting the Quran, by being in the state of ibadah, by being humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have prepped yourself this way, then this is Laylatul Qadr for you. But if you're not willing to put your mind to test, you're not willing to submit. People will recite the Quran for a few hours, but they may not submit this way. They remain stubborn. And they remain, no, I don't care. So if you don't care, Allah won't care. And if you don't care, there's no salam and peace for you. And if you don't care, there's no khair for you. And if you don't care, God forbid, there's a decision that comes to you on this night and it goes against you. And you're not ready to handle that. That comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way to do it is to follow the footsteps of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha and follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's request and his mandate that this is the dua we should be making when we are looking for Laylatul Qadr. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Once this is set in our minds, in our qalb, in our heart, then we are ready to receive Laylatul Qadr and we are ready to receive the Quran that has been revealed every second of the month in Ramadan, which I explained a couple of weeks ago. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the way the Ummah used to prepare itself for receiving the Quran in Laylatul Qadr and for receiving Laylatul Qadr and for receiving every command and every decision that came its way in Ramadan. And this is why finding Laylatul Qadr is the reason for Ramadan. Right? Because all your decisions are coming for you this night. Everything you're going to do that year, the angels will receive a mandate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they know what's going to happen to you. They know. So you'd better be in your best behavior and dressed appropriately for the occasion. In your regal dress in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that dress? Not a three-piece suit with a bow tie. No, I'm not talking about that. That's all nonsense. In your most humble behavior, the divine dress is humility, humbleness. That's the divine dress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like anyone who's arrogant and proud. So that's why we are taught to go into ruku and sujood all the time. That we are here with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way the Ummah solved the problems of the Ummah every year. You understand what I'm saying? You say, well, what's wrong with the Ummah? This is what's wrong with the Ummah. What's wrong with the Ummah? It's not about human rights. It's about your right to receive Allah's sustenance, guidance, providence, forgiveness, pardon on Laylatul Qadr. That's what's wrong with you. It is through ibadah that the Ummah managed and regulated its years, one after another, one after another, one after another. This is the night you prepare for the rest of the year. This is the night you're in conference with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an ummah to tell Allah, Allah, fix our affairs. Let the decisions for this year be in our favor and let those decisions come with salah, with peace and tranquility. This is the way of the Sahaba. Uthman radiallahu anhu. MashaAllah, he loved the Qur'an, and if he recited the Qur'an every night once, one riwayah is that, he recited the Qur'an in one rakat of witr. Now you think he's not making inroads into how God is going to regulate the Ummah for the rest of the year? No. Which Muslim leader, group, organization, country does this? Which one? None. Except those who love ibadah. Is that true? If they knew where the decision comes from, then they won't be gravitating towards the White House. The White House can't do diddly squat. The White House isn't God. America is not your God. Europe is not your God. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we realize this as an ummah, we live here, we love the country. Okay? We're not going to destroy the country. That's a separate issue from worshiping the country. You understand what I'm saying? So all this talk about what's wrong with the ummah, let's fix the ummah, the ummah needs this, this and that, we say the ummah needs to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, period. How did he observe Ramzan? This is the way he observed Ramadan. And you follow him. Why can't you do that? No, but the ummah has issues. Yeah, yeah. You're the issue. You're the issue. You don't know where to go to get your water. And even if you do, you don't want to go there. Why? Because it's retrogressive, it is backwards. It is outdated. Is no longer relevant, and definitely is not culturally relevant. What is culturally relevant? You have a good time in Ramadan. And you call your neighbors to have a better time in Ramadan. Right? This is what's culturally relevant. The Sahaba, Abu Hanifa rahimullah, he was the Imam al-Azam. Did he not know Islamic law? He's the founder of Islamic law. Did he not know rights? Did he not know that there's a state? The state was scared of him. Right. His students became the chief justice for the whole ummah. He knew all this. Then why wasn't he there knocking on the doors of the qadi, knocking on the doors of the khalifa in Ramadan? Please do this for the ummah. Please, because he knows the khalifa is not God. Only Allah is God. So, what did Abu Hanifa say about Laylatul Qadr? He said that I found Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan, and I also found Laylatul Qadr outside of Ramadan. There you go, figure. Right? The man never slept. That's all he did with Islamic law. In the night he would make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you serve the ummah. You don't serve the ummah by this wishy-washy, totally chaotic approach to the Muslim affairs of the USA, and then say, if we can solve the affairs of Muslims in the USA, we can solve the affairs of Muslims throughout the world. Okay, now how's that going for you? Why don't you do this? This is much easier. So what I'm saying, I'm not discouraging you, I'm saying that this is the way to help ourselves. Allah says, I'm giving you a gift. What is that gift? Laylatul Qadr. Now I want you to receive it. If you don't receive it, then Allah says, what did he say? If you don't receive it, he will create others who will. He will do what? He will create others who will receive it. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. And if you turn away, Allah will replace you with another group of people and they will not be like you. That time has come where the old establishment of the old Muslims, they seem to say, well, this is not good enough. It's not good enough. So let's try something else, and then a new establishment will emerge from here, right in this country, from Europe, from other places in the world where there are non-Muslims who are intrigued by the spiritual dimension of Islam, and that is why most of them come into Islam. The Quran says, ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Then they won't be like you. Then they will engage in ibadah, and they will be looking for Laylatul Qadr, and they'll be looking for the night of the 15th Shaban, and they'll be looking for Allah's fadl through prayer and ibadah, tawbah, istighfar, and everything else. They won't be like you. So we still have a chance. We have a long chance. We have many years to go, inshallah, but it's only with this conviction. We have to be convinced that this is the way to solve the problems of the ummah. And what is that? That is dua. That is recitation of the Qur'an. That is tawbah, istighfar, and everything else that comes along with it. If you want to help yourself and the ummah, then follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So, when there's an occasion for ibadah, what does the ummah do? Ibadah. And when there's an occasion to earn money and go out, what does the ummah do? Earns money and goes out. But don't mix the two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Jum'ah, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that now you've done your salat, now you're in Jum'ah, you finished, so now you finish the salat, now what do you do? فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, disperse, go away. And do what? وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, ask and seek for Allah's fadl, which is what? Your rizq. Go back to work, go back to business, do whatever you want. You've done your salat, time for ibadah means time for ibadah, time for work means time for work, but don't mix the two together. You can't have both, otherwise you'll have a concoction, which is what? The 20th century, 21st century Muslim. They want to mix everything. You can't mix ibadah with pleasure, just as you can't mix your work with pleasure. If your boss catches you doing what you're not supposed to do at work, what will he do? Why are you going to say, well, this is the pursuit of happiness? Is my God-given right? He said, well, go and pursue your happiness elsewhere. Is that true? Yeah. So don't mix it together. Ibadah means, the time for ibadah means you are dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's where the concentration is. So what I'm saying is that in these nights that are very short, we have a golden opportunity, all of us, to receive Laylatul Qadr, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to look for Laylatul Qadr, and more than that, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us, all of us, Laylatul Qadr this year and every year after this, so that we are blessed and the ummah is also blessed through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayr khalqi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya rahmur rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.